This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boon Wurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
Hey, before we get into today's episode, just a quick reminder that if you have someone that is currently pregnant and thinking about all the things that are ahead of them, from postpartum planning to breastfeeding and returning to paid work, to how on earth to navigate the childcare system and what they need to do now, we have just the guides for them. You can shop our Ready or Not go-to guides, Postpartum and Return to Work Planning, Breastfeeding and Returning to Work, and Childcare 101 for $69 as a bundle or $29 individually. They're packed full of information created with experts, and I personally think they're brilliant. You can shop them now in our show notes or readyornot.au.
Come in here,
Peter.
I can do the work call.
I just had to include that little snippet up top. Because isn't that the sound you've heard in so many meetings with mums? If you've listened to Ready or Not for a while, you might know that this is the second time that Liv Brown has been on the show. Last time we heard about her journey pre-kids and then coming into motherhood as a mother of one, thinking that stay-at-home motherhood would be for her, to slowly but surely discovering her creativity, discovering her niche, and that is Rattle Style. She's a stylist for mums. She works across a variety of creative projects. And just as her bump was growing with her second baby, so too was her business. So in our earlier episode that I'll link in the show notes, we discuss all of that and more. But in today's episode, I wanted to find out how navigating going from one to two has been for her. And as someone that didn't quite stop work in my second postpartum, I wanted to know how Liv had tackled all of that and more. As you'll hear, she had some really stressful weeks with sickness and hospital stays with both of her babies when she brought her second baby Otis into the world. And through all of that, she had to somehow navigate her paid work and her growing community too. Here we talk about the DMs and the messages that might be well-meaning but sometimes aren't all that helpful when you're trying to navigate so much as a mum and a worker, and all of the ways in which she's found going from one to two easy and not so easy. If this intro sounds incredibly off the cuff, I'm not putting on that, I guess, more professional voice that I sometimes do. That's because I'm bloody anxious. I have so much to do today. But it is also because this conversation is off the cuff and casual. That's the way I try to keep it when someone is returning to the show for the second time. So hopefully this feels like chatting amongst friends as opposed to an interview. So here it is. I'm Lucinda. This is Ready or Not. And here is the clever and creative Liv Brown. Liv Brown, last time we talked, you were getting towards, I would say, pretty heavy pregnancy. You were getting ready to meet your second son, and you were going through what so many mums before you have been through, where your career is really taking off. I feel like you are absolutely popping off. Tell me about how you felt as you were starting to wind down, isn't the right word, because you didn't stop working per se. But tell me about how you're feeling when Otis is just weeks away from entering the world.
It was crazy. I think like I had all these plans for Rattle, and I think pregnancy just kind of like brought them all forward sooner than I ever expected, which was amazing. Pregnancy and a few other things, but pregnancy really just like made my business grow. And I wasn't prepared for it. I tried to prepare so much for my end of pregnancy and for the start of my postpartum, prepare my business in a way that I think I could like step back and take some time off. And honestly, I was probably going to be able to do that because I had a business and it was growing, but it was so slow that it was like, oh, I'll be able to take some time out and go back and come back to it. But because it kind of just went bang really fast in probably, I would say, like 6 months, I wasn't able to do that. So I was feeling fine, but I was actually, you know what, end of my pregnancy, I was really overwhelmed because I think I had the guilt of being like, I need to stop working. But I actually didn't want to stop working because I loved it so much. And I also felt like I couldn't stop working.
So you're about to sort of shut the laptop to give birth. What's going through your mind in terms of projects? What are you wanting to work on that's like perhaps frustrating you that you can't? Or what are you thinking in terms of planning for when baby comes?
I think, so I stopped taking clients on So that was good. I had no I wanted to stop everything that I had a deadline for. So my clients, I usually say, you know, I'll send you the first round in a week. So anything that kind of brought me stress and deadlines, I wanted to stop because you can't have deadlines when you've got kids. But then things just kept popping up, like, and it's all amazing things. But I guess I was never, I don't even want to call myself a influencer right now. I sound like an idiot, but like I was never doing brand collaborations. But they kind of started rolling in and I love it. And I was like, and it was brands I'd love to work for. And it was pinch me moment brands. And I was like, I can't say no, I can't say no, I can't say no. And then I started getting things for like, oh, when the baby's here, like, let's do this. And I'm like, oh, I'd love to. That's so fun. But like, how do I know what the survey's going to be like? So yeah, I guess I did close my laptops on Rattle and on personal clients and things like that. Mummy Mode, which is my shoppable PDF that I put out every month. Even though everyone in my life was like, Liv, you just don't put it out in May and June or whatever. But yeah. I was like, I don't know, there's something, but I'm like, but it comes out every month. And they're like, yeah, but just, you're the boss. Just don't put it out in May. And I'm like, no, but like in my head, I'm like, well, it comes out every month. So I've got to have one for May and June, which in hindsight, didn't need to, shouldn't have done. Like that's probably for me, I could have stopped, but I didn't. I don't know. I love it. But yeah, I guess it's all the other stuff that popped up that was never really in my plan for Rattle that I just, things just kept popping up and I just wasn't saying no to them.
And what did you say no to that was hard? Like it's so tricky as a mum. Hi, yeah. Cutie. Yeah. Finding that balance of knowing when to rest and like look after yourself and be present and all those things, but also taking on all the stuff that you love. So were there any things that you said no to that you thought, oh, I wish I just bloody did that? Or did you feel pretty good in where you drew your lines?
I actually did say no. The only things I would say no to was clients. Like I had some really fun clients and like influential people message me being like, I've got this event. It's in a month. Love your help. And I was like every part of me was like, I would love to style you for this. But I said no to those. And I haven't regretted that. I've actually haven't even thought about that since you asked that question. But yeah, so it's probably... I have no regrets on things that I said no to, probably because I didn't really say no to much. But yeah, personal clients, that's the thing that I was like, no, I need to have boundaries here and not just say yes to everything. Because they're also, I also thought like if I'm working with someone and they're paying me and I'm styling them, like I don't want to give them a half-hearted, like, you know, I want to give them my best, like my full attention. And I don't want to be sleep deprived or like heavily pregnant in labor and not and rushing their styling project.
And on the subject of saying yes to a lot, did you have the feeling that I did recently where I said yes or I signed on to doing this really great eight-part podcast series that was right in my wheelhouse? It was like footy and feminism and they're like two of my, I love sport and I love feminism and it was pop culture and pretty much all the things I love and I was to be the producer on it. When I took on the project, I was a little bit nervous. During it, I was like, why did you do this? This is way too hard. And when it finished, I was like, I'm so glad I did that. That was worth it, even if it was hard. Have you been through similar motions with projects that you have said yes to?
I have actually. And it was probably at the end of my pregnancy and like nothing on the projects. Like I said yes for a reason. But there were times at the end of my pregnancy that I was like, oh, like I'm pushing myself here. So there were definitely projects that I took on because I was so excited. And then during it, I was like, I'm so busy. It was maybe because I was like, I want to start nesting and there's other things that I need to be focusing on. I want to spend this time with Gus because it's the last time it's going to be just us. But then after doing the projects, like I feel like I've actually never regretted doing the project. Like it's always been like rewarding and I've loved it afterwards.
And you talk about that guilt of all of those different things of, oh, I should be nesting or I should be, not should be spending time with Gus, but should and want to be spending time with Gus. Was there any self-talk that helped you through those guilts or did you just sort of go through the motions and then afterwards go, you did your best?
I probably, you know what, if we're speaking about mum guilt, I had never really experienced it before having Otis. Like it's kind of a new thing for me. I had it a little bit, like I was saying, at the end of Gus when I started working. I was a stay-at-home mum for Gus's first 18 months of his life. So I like that probably sounds silly, being like, I've never experienced it, but like I was with him all the time. I was like, you know, I was
It wasn't so like you returned to work at 6 months and you were like, what, you know, exactly. How is this going to work? And I'm leaving him, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. But now since having Otis and also since, yeah, the end of my pregnancy when I was working, I was like, wow, like the guilt definitely came on. I guess just reminding myself, like, I love doing what I'm doing. Like, I feel like I've had best of both worlds. Like, I've been the stay-at-home mum and now I'm the working mum, which I still feel weird saying I'm the working mum. I don't know why. I just, like, don't believe that I'm a working mum.
We're all frauds.
Yeah, I'm like, am I actually a working mum? Yeah, I've had, like, experienced both and, yeah, the feeling, and I just remind myself, like, I feel like looking back to me as a stay-at-home mum with Gus and looking at me now, like, I need this for me and, like, this creative outlet for me and I love it. So I guess if I'm ever having those guilty moments, I'm like, okay, this is something that I'm doing for myself. Like, this is what I'm doing for myself and I give everything else to my family and I need this for me. So if I'm ever having those thoughts, I'm like, yeah, but this is you looking after yourself.
And do you look back now at, as much as I know you adore your son, but in your earlier days of Gus, in that 18-month period, do you look back now and think there was more frustration about wanting a creative outlet than you even realized at the time, maybe?
So that whole time, it's really funny. So even for some reason, and I actually, you know what, I just chatted to someone the other day that said she experiences this as well, but in my pregnancies, I get this like urge of like creativity. So during my pregnancy with Gus, I was like planning all these businesses and just having all these ideas. And then it stopped when I was postpartum because my first, like, you know, first postpartum was just like wild. There's no way I could have been doing what I'm doing now. And then I think I actually spent a lot of that 18 months thinking and planning what is now Rattle. Yeah. So it kind of kept me busy. You know, I was with him, being a stay-at-home mum, going to the parks, but I was like writing my notes, recording my friends, trying to like, and I was just, that's how Rattle came about. So I guess I was kind of working, but like just planning the business almost.
You're like planting the seed.
Which I find that like, I find planning a business and like the, just before launching a business so much fun. That's,
it's like the romance period. It's the honeymoon period of a relationship.
It is.
And then the bloody reality sets in.
Yeah.
So then talk to us about the early days of Otis. You had a bit of a plot twist in that he had to spend some time in special care. Talk to us about those early days.
So I thought I had it all planned out. Like Gus was in 3 days. So Gus was doing like 5 hours of occasional care when I, like last year before I got pregnant. And then when I got pregnant, we're like, let's ramp up his hours, get prepared for when Otis comes, put and like, you know, when my business grows. So we put him in 3 days of 5 hours. So he was getting 15 hours of care, which was amazing. That was great. He was all settled in there and then had Otis. And I was so excited for those days, early days where it would just be me and, you know, me getting to know Otis, napping during the day, like having the slow mornings and stuff, and Gus was at care. And then we had Otis and came home from my pregnancy. Yeah, came home from my birth. And Gus had just had 2 nights with my parents and I got a message from my parents being like, we're giving Gus some honey for his like sore throat. And I just didn't really think much of it. And I was like, oh, he's got a sore throat, damn. Didn't really think much further than that. And then he came home, like met Otis and everything, which was beautiful. And then he woke up that next morning, Gus, and he was really sick, like the sickest he's ever been. We were like, oh my gosh. But again, I think I was just in this la-la land of like, I just probably wasn't even thinking straight. I didn't even really think about the fact that Otis could catch what he has. I don't know. I was like, he's breastfeeding. I don't even know. I was just.
And they're staying close to your body and you think they're just, you know, don't get it. That would be fine.
Keep them away. Like we tried to keep Gus away from Otis, but like, it's so hard. So day 4 of Otis's life, he was 4 days old. He ended up, I had to take him to emergency because of his breathing. And then anyway, he ended up with RSV, which is what Gus had. And it was just like, it was honestly the scariest 2 weeks of my whole life. So he was in, special care for, we were in like an isolation room. Well, he was in an isolation room for 2 weeks. It was 14 nights. And it was just like, he was in like a critical condition. Like it was just so scary. He was on a, like had breathing support. Like I'm not going to say any of, I'm so not medical and I'm going to get it all wrong. But he was like quite like, you know, feeding tube, like just.
He was tethered to a lot of things.
Yeah. So it was really scary. And I got so much like health anxiety and stuff from that, that I just like, obviously pulled Gus out of care while Gus was sick. And then I just like, just couldn't send him back because I was like, I'm just going to be so, I just was like, I just need to keep him home because I'm so scared. It's like I viewed Melbourne This is literally how Melbourne was in my brain. I was so anxious, you know, and like looking back now, I'm like, oh my gosh, I was so anxious. I'm so much better now. But I viewed Melbourne with like a black or grey cloud on top, and like everyone had the flu, had COVID. Like I just wanted no one to come near us. I just wanted Gus to see no other kids. Like it was sad because I'm like, also, I'm such a social person. I felt like I had guilt telling people that like I was isolating. Just until I just got a bit bigger and I'm fine now. But we ended up making the decision to pull him out of care because I was like, it's not worth my anxiety. And also because my head was telling me if he went back to care, he's going to get that sick again. Like Gus ended up going to emergency twice and we're not quick to take him to his emergency before. He ended up in that 2 weeks that Otis was in care. Gus was also downstairs in the emergency department at the Austin. Like it was just insane. And we were sick. I was sick. Charlie was sick. It was like our parents were sick. It was insane.
How were your emotions? Because early motherhood, even though it can be beautiful, those first 2 weeks particularly, like there's baby blues, there's hormone dips, there's getting used to tender breasts. How were you actually feeling? Like were you a puddle of tears or were you sort of holding it together because you had to? Or where was your mind at?
If anyone's watching that, I don't know, you probably get people watch that are like, they could have been like a nurse in social care. Apologies, the psycho. There's probably a photo of me.
They're like, we don't recognize you. You look different.
Literally, like, beware of this girl. Beware of this mum. I was like an absolute mess. And also my postpartum was so much harder this time around. Like my boobs were so much more engorged. I had bleeding nipples. I was like exhausted. I had like weird vision, like just random stuff was happening. Like also no sleep because I was juggling him in special care, Gus being sick. I was sick.
Oh my God. How did you deal with Gus being downstairs at hospital while your baby's in special care?
So the first time I wasn't told. So I got to stay 2 nights with Gus in special care because I refused to leave psycho with Otis. Yeah, I got to stay 2 nights with Otis in special care because I refused to leave, which is just in hindsight. Apologies to anyone that I was refusing to leave to.
I reckon anyone listening would understand that, to be fair.
Yeah, I just was like, I'm just not leaving.
It's unnatural. Ray was left in special care for nearly a week, and that was just because he was born early, not because of a health complication. And the most unnatural feeling of my life was walking out of the hospital without him. So you can't even imagine when someone leaves for good without their baby because it's so devastating. So.
And I know a lot of people have it like longer stays and stuff than me. But so Gus was in special care for 3 days because of an infection. And I actually have always had regret. I left because you weren't allowed to stay. And I've always felt a bit like I kind of wish I stayed. So this time around, I was like, I'm not leaving. Anyway, if you fight, you do get it. Anyway, but it was hard. So the first time Charlie ended up taking Gus emergency and that no one told me, I've only since found that out, which I'm so glad they didn't tell me because I would have like, I hadn't slept.
I literally have tears pricking my eyes now because if my toddler, while my newborn was sick, if my toddler was also going to emergency and I wasn't there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That makes me feel emotional.
Yeah. And then, but funny, so not funny, but so Gus was in emergency and then the next day or something, I text Charlie being like, I need to come home for a rest. Can you pick me up? And when he picked me up, he was with Gus, who had been in hospital that night. And I said to him, there's something off. Just looking at him, I was like, there's something not right with him. There's something not right with him. And I was like, am I just really anxious and sleep deprived? There's something not right with him. Charlie's like, no, he's fine. Like, I think you just need to go home and sleep. Anyway, turns out mums always know. And then I ended up taking him in. So I got home. It was like 9 o'clock. I got home from dropping my milk off, like being with Otis all day, got home. And Charlie was like, I'm so sorry, but, and Charlie's mum's a midwife and he's like, mum's about to come over. Gus has a low temperature and he's just been acting really weird. Like it was just like, I can't even tell you the series of events. Anyway, so Gus had a low temperature, was acting off. I went with him. So we ended up being in emergency till 4 a.m. Anyway, turns out it was a bloody ear infection after the RSV. So that was that. But I was downstairs in emergency, going up, checking on Otis. Gave him a feed because he was off his bean drip, back down. Like it was just insane. I was lucky that the hospital, he was at the Mercy. So I was jumping between the Mercy and the Austin.
Silver lining, if there is any, that they were so nearby. But my God, that makes me feel so stressed for you. So all the while, and I think you have quite complicated feelings towards this, probably more because of outside judgment. You sort of are continuing working. How I know that in the special care, when you're sitting by a baby, they're sleeping a lot. You're just watching them. There's not much to do a lot of the time. But I can imagine there was a lot of internal guilt and feeling like people would judge you if they knew you were working. And obviously your work's quite social front facing too. So it's not like you can work away silently and people won't realize. Part of your work is creating content and creating stuff for people. How did you navigate communicating what was going on and then still showing up in a work sense and feeling like, you know, you were protecting yourself from people and protecting your choices, I guess?
This was hard because I had a lot of guilt myself. Like, I was never going to planning to work. And also my son is in like a critical condition in a room in special care. I'm sitting there, but like, this is going to sound crazy, but I was also very anxious myself. Like, I just had so much going on, sleep deprived, anxious. And like, it does sound crazy even saying this out loud, but like, the one thing that makes me not anxious is when I pull out my laptop and I start working because it's a distraction. So I was with him. Yeah. And I was spending hours and hours and hours and hours with him. And it's not anxiety, not like it makes me feel better because it's like, oh, I've got all this work to do and I need to get it done. It makes me feel better because I love it and it's just fun and it takes my mind off whatever's going on. So he was in special care. I felt even embarrassed even having my laptop in there.
Was there any judgment actually? Were there any special care nurses that made any comments?
No. One made me feel, he said, they probably didn't know what I was doing, but they didn't know. No one made me feel funny, but I felt like guilt myself because I was like, why am I working right now? But it was also like you said, like, it's not like, he was asleep I wasn't allowed to touch him for so much of it. He was strapped to all of this stuff. He was sleeping, getting better. I was sitting there. So it's either I'm on TikTok scrolling, I'm talking to the nurse who's probably like, can this girl be quiet? Or I'm working. So I actually, like you said, like I actually had quite a bit of time to spare. But yeah, I actually felt guilty about it. And I did feel embarrassed because I did a couple of stories that was like, you know, I don't know if I told like the full story. There was a couple of stories just like ready, like time to come home now or whatever. And I was like, well, then I can't do a story that's like, but mummy mode's coming out on the first, like, you know, like, but I don't know. It was just a distraction. And like he said, like I actually just had time to do it.
And so you eventually get your baby home and things are looking a little bit better on the health front. Talk us through those next few weeks that probably really felt like the first few weeks in a sense, because we all expect to take our baby home.
Yeah.
And then it sort of starts, whereas yours was like a 2-week delay. So then talk to us about, firstly, I guess, how all of this health anxiety informed how then your postpartum flowed from there and then what actually played out.
So we got home and we were still like, I think it's called hospital, like we were with the hospital
at home.
So
yes. Awesome. Yeah.
So it still wasn't 100%. Like, and I actually had a nurse or two in there saying like, you know, there's so many hospital politics. And I had a nurse or two say to me like, I wouldn't take him home yet. And then I had other nurses like being like, yeah, it's got to go home, discharge. Then some of the nurses were like, I think they just want the room. And I was like, oh my gosh. Anyway, took him home. And I was like so, so anxious. Like I've always had like a little bit of anxiety, but like I was just like couldn't even, well, you know what? I feel like considering how anxious I was actually like able to get out of the house and stuff, but I wasn't seeing people because I didn't want them to get sick. So it was very isolating. Like I was going for walks and also Gus was home. So I was like basically back to like stay at home mum vibes, like going for walks, playing with Gus. The days felt so long. And it was probably 2 weeks, I would say, of just like, just overthinking and health anxiety. Like I developed health anxiety, which I'd never had before. I booked in to see a therapist straight away, which was amazing. And like, I'm lucky that it probably lasted like a month of all this anxiety. And now I feel fine. Like there's still things that pop up, but I kind of got on top of it. Yeah, it was hard. It was full on.
How did the anxiety manifest? Was it really just that worry of getting sick or more sick? Or was it like, for example, in the early days when I have a newborn, I check on their breathing all the time. Was there those sorts of things? Or was it more around keeping your space safe?
It was both. So like I've never used Dettol. I've never used hand sanitizer. Obviously did during COVID, but like haven't thought about it since. And that we've got like 4 hand sanitizer stations in our house. It was like, Charlie going to work every morning, I'd be like, just be careful, like don't get too close to people. So it was all of that kind of thing. which I've never been like that before. Like, it's just, I felt like a psycho. But it was also because the thing with his breathing was, like, when they sent him home, his breathing was still, like, he was congested for until he was, honestly, he's actually still a little bit congested. Like, it's been such a long road, really. Oh, no, I guess he's only 4 months. But, yeah, I was checking his breathing constantly, worried about his congestion. But then the anxiety of the kids getting sick kind of went away after he got his first little cold. So he did end up getting, like, a little bit sick, just a normal cold, and he was fine. We were fine. I didn't feel that stress when he had it, and I feel like overcoming that, I'm now fine. You know, he's bigger now. He's going to get sick. It's okay. But now the anxiety is manifested in a different way, and it's things happening to me, which is apparently a common thing. I'd never experienced it before, but I'm so scared that I'm going to get sick and not be able to look after the kids. So it's just, like, manifested in a different way. But I'm seeing a therapist about it, so...
Yeah. Hopefully I'll be. Thanks for sharing that, because that would be so common and so much more common that is spoken about. Before we will move on from this anxiety piece, because I don't want to just keep you in this state for the whole conversation. I know even still that. Some days, and half of the time I'm just joking, or I'm a tiny bit flat, or I'm a tiny bit anxious, and I'll be like to Hayden, do you have to go to work today? Like, can't you stay home?
Yeah.
How did you actually cope in those early days where you really weren't coping, when Charlie would go off to work?
I guess I've got such a good, like, support network. Like, I just WhatsApp record people all day. Like, I'm an open book. I'm just chat to my friends. Charlie was amazing at, like, his work's hectic, but he was really good at, like, making sure he's home by, like, 5:30 during the week, which was great. And I guess, you know what, this sounds grim, but I think people would be able to relate to this. I was, like, counting down the hours sometimes. Like, we'd get to lunchtime. I was like, okay, 5 more hours. What can we do? Let's go for a big walk. Let's go to a park. Let's put a movie on and then he'll be home. Like, it was like, which is not a way to live. And, like, coming out of it.
So common.
Yeah. But when I was in it, it's like I knew I was anxious, but in hindsight, now I'm out of it, I look back and I'm like, wow, you were actually really freaking anxious.
Yeah. Like, I think a lot of those heightened feelings in very early motherhood specifically, you almost can't name at the time because they feel too big. Do you get that?
Yes. Yep. Definitely.
You're just like moving through mud. Like, you're just trying to get through to the other side.
Yeah. And we went to Noosa. So we went to Noosa when he was 6 weeks old. And I love Noosa. It's like my favorite place in the whole world. And I think I was so excited for that. And I just thought everything was going to be better in Noosa because, like, it's sunny. So I was kind of like waiting till we got to that. And then when we got to that, I felt fine in Noosa. Again, hindsight, was actually still kind of anxious in Noosa, but fine. And then I don't know. I think I was like just looking at my days and my weeks in like sections, and I'm like, God, I'll be in Noosa then, and then we'll come home, and then it's a weekend.
You just got through it somehow. And so what did the layer of work look like on top of this? You start to return to work in a sense, in drips and drabs, I imagine. You've had this pretty scary experience of your baby being critically unwell, and then you've also got this fraught thing of not wanting to show too much of that online because you're nervous about how people will interact with you working already. How do you actually return to work after all this?
It's funny about that online stuff because I feel like I'm always online. I'm always doing stories. I'm always like, I am an open book, but I'm also private when it comes to like, I think I'm private when it comes to like negative situations in my life, which I know people like, you've got to keep it real, you know, but I'm just not one to like, if I'm feeling down or if I'm crying about something, I'm just not going to like pull out my phone and record.
No.
So
I must admit, when people do and there's a selfie with someone crying, I'm like, and maybe this is really mean and judgmental of me, but I'm like, was your first reaction to pull out your phone when you were crying? So I get that.
Then there's another side of me that's like, I never want to come across like fake.
Yeah, you don't want to be toxic positive.
But then I'm also like, yeah, but my life is great. I do love my life. I love having the two kids, all of that. But then it's like there are parts of my life that, you know, I don't show that is, you know, a shit show. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, but
yeah,
getting back into work, I think I can just really separate like my personal life and like anxieties and stuff from work. I think work is like such a happy place for me that it never affected my work.
And what did returning to work look like? Because there's obviously shoots, there's mummy mode, there's community building, there's the Rat Pack. What were you first doing when you got back into it?
Well, my brain, I can't remember. I was actually working on a new website. So I made Mummy Mode subscription based. You know what? I was doing all like the back end kind of businessy stuff that I put off for ages when I had clients. So I thought I was going to be getting back into clients by September. I'm actually going to start taking them on again in October, I think. But yeah, I think just all the back end, like new website, my mode subscription. I was just ticking things off that I could take my time on and just do throughout the day, but not, again, like I said before, no deadlines. But then the brand deals kind of started coming through, which I love, and I didn't really want to say no to. So I actually ended up joining with an agency throughout this time, which has been incredible because they just take away the mental load. So yeah. I guess onboarding people to help me, and I'm about to onboard another girl after when I get back from this new center. I'm glad you're there again.
It's my happy place. I've got to get there.
You're right, mate. When I get home from a little holiday we're going on, I'm going to bring someone else on board one day a week. So I think I kind of was like, this is life with two kids. Let's do all the back end stuff, like get the business a bit tidier and get help where I can so that I can now then take on clients.
And so you've had some brand collaboration work since Otis came to be. Talk us through what a day in the life of that looks like. Like I'm thinking about pumping. I'm thinking about getting out the door.
Oh, yeah.
All of those nitty gritties. Talk about what's been hard, what's been fun. Yeah. What you've really had to plan for that you sort of forgot about, because I don't know about you, but having a newborn again, I forgot how long feeding took and all of those things. And you go, oh, okay, I can't just like get out the door in 10 minutes.
No. So it's actually been, it's funny. I am very lucky. I must say that I have a very chill baby. There's no way I could have done this, Gus. Like literally no way. And the great thing is I work with mums and all the brand deals and stuff I'm doing, it's all like mum thing. So he has not left my side. Like he comes to every single thing with me. He's never had babysitting. I've literally never been away from him yet apart from in special care. So I haven't had to worry about pumping. Pumping is just like, to me, that is like an Olympic sport. So like,
yeah, especially when you have two kids as well.
Yeah. So I just bring him with me. I can breastfeed him. I have him in the carrier. He naps whenever. He's just like... Also, I'm in a sweet spot. Like, I'll probably laugh at myself in 4 months' time, but like, he's only just 4 months. So he just naps whenever. There's no routine. I just take him. He's just come for the ride. And it's just, like I said, so good because everything I'm dealing with is all mums. Yeah. I have just booked in my first event that I'm going to do without him, which is around the corner, but it's 3 hours and he'll be like 5 months or something. So, but like, I'm nervous for that. And even Charlie's nervous for that. He's like, oh my gosh. And it's at nighttime. So, I'll have to pump for that. So I think, and yeah, I'm starting to see that there will be a few things that I probably wouldn't want to bring him to. But for now, it's just been fine because I've just brought him everywhere.
That's another really interesting thing you bring up. So I was doing, not heaps, but I was doing Ready or Not recordings pretty much whenever someone could on Ray's daycare days, because Posey would just sleep wherever or feed or whatever because she was young. And then I was booking in advance and all of a sudden I was thinking, what expect her to be doing, that's not nap time. Okay. And she's now 6 months old, or now she's 8 months old. What do you expect her to be doing? Have you had some of those moments where you're all of a sudden thinking, I can't plan for this the way I have been?
Yeah. Because I'm just like, And like you said, like, I can't remember. I don't know what they're doing at 6 months. So I actually, you know what? I did have one thing that I just was silly on my end and just forgot about the fact I'm going to have a baby with me. And it was a brand. I went to the studio and took some content for a brand that I love, and I took Otis with me. And then it was just like the first day that I just like could not put him down. And I was like, oh my gosh, wait, he naps on me. I do every single nap in the carrier, like every single nap in the carrier. And I was like, how am I going to take photos of these clothes when I've got the carrier on? I was like, oh my, like I just hadn't thought about it. So I called
my
sister-in-law.
It's all those logistical things.
Well, I didn't think about it. And she was looking after Gus at the time. So I just got them to come to the studio and she just held Otis. But yeah, I'm going to have to start. I'm just going to try and wing it. But there are definitely, I'm going to buy new pumps. I'm going to start pumping. I'm going to give him to Charlie a little bit more. And we're going to have to start like, making a few changes there. But I just, at the moment, I'm just hoping that it just all works.
We'll figure it out. Just keep those positive vibes going through. Yeah. And so is Gus back in care now, or have you kept him out?
No, I've kept him out.
But how on earth are you making it work?
So I've got my sister-in-law is nannying Gus 15 hours a week, which is amazing.
Oh,
so
amazing.
She's incredible. And it was perfect because there's no transition because it's his auntie. So that's been amazing. So yeah, if it wasn't for her, there's no way I could be doing this. Like, if having Gus home, because I don't want to just chuck Gus in front of the TV. Like, you know, Gus, I actually need to like go to the parks with and play with and, you know, engage with. Whereas Otis, not that I don't put Otis in front of the TV, but like Otis just sits with me and I can work for now. Yes. But you know what? I have said to Charlie, in the next few months, it's going to get harder. And then I'm thinking January next year when he's 8 months or something, maybe we'll look into a nanny for Otis. Like, I'm going to have to plan some things.
Yeah. So this takes me to something that you and I have been speaking about in our voice memos, which is that a lot of the time it's not with ill meaning, but people will, and even just then I said, how on earth have you been making that work? And I even hated the inflection there of being like, you've got two kids. How are you making it work?
Oh, I didn't even,
because I didn't mean it in that judgy way. I was just like, wow. But it does get me to what a lot of people say, and they said this to me too, which is when you keep working, you've got a small business that you're trying to get off the ground. And same as you, I was experiencing a lot of growth just as Posey came into the world. And there was a lot of comments of like, gee, I hope you're looking after yourself. I hope you're taking it easy. Gee, you're doing a lot of work. Even if, honestly, on some weeks I was doing like 4 hours of work. I was like, well, actually, you're wrong. You have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that much. Other weeks, sure, I was doing much more. But it wasn't even necessarily always true. And even if it was, well, you know, this is the option for me right now because I want to keep my business going. This is obviously what I'm either choosing to do or I have to do. And what are the DMs that you've been receiving and how has it made you feel?
So, yes. And obviously nothing, it's always coming from a good place, I think. And it's nothing against the people that send me these DMs, but I get so many of them. Because I've been doing Q&As and like, which I love, like fun things like that on Instagram. And I always get like, I want to say 5. I feel bad saying it because it's, again, nothing about the people that are sending through these things. But from people saying like, watch out, like don't burn out or watch out. Or like, you know, how are you doing it all? But just, like people.
Look after yourself.
look after yourself. I hope you're resting. I hope you've got time to do things for you and all of this, like things like that, which so nice. But I have so many like feelings when people say that kind of thing to me because I'm like, firstly, I hope you're resting. I've got a toddler. Like I'm either working. Like I just my hours.
It's all work. Like I'm not resting. Just different types of work.
Well, exactly. Yeah. I'm either working with I'm running around with Gus, taking him to the park, not resting, or I'm working, which is probably more restful than looking after a toddler. But I think it kind of makes me feel I'm like, oh, should I not be? I don't want to set an unrealistic expectation of postpartum because every postpartum's different. There's no way I could have done this with my first postpartum. No way. But this time around, I'm like, the temperament's different with the babies. I feel different. I'm not as like depleted as I was with Gus. Like there's just so many factors that come into it. And like you said, people don't know how many hours I'm working each week. Yeah, I'll have a nanny for 5 hours, but I'm still looking after Otis. And then I think what actually makes me feel a certain way is that when they say it, I'm like, oh, do people think that I'm not being like a good mum? Like are people thinking that I'm not, but where I literally don't put him down to the point where I'm like, didn't even know if he could roll the other day because I was like, no, wouldn't know because I never put you down. Like I'm catering to all the needs of my kids. I just am also working in between. So yeah, probably I'm not getting much me time or rest time, but Rattle for me is me time. And I can see why people think it if they're thinking of their jobs, maybe that are in an office or they don't love their job as much or just different jobs. But for me, if someone said to me, you've got 48 hours kid free, what do you want to do? I would actually say, I would want to go out for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, have a couple of wines, be by a pool, eat, and do rattle work. Like that's what I would choose to do. So I just, I don't know. So, it's funny. And I know that it's not coming from a bad place, but it sometimes makes me feel guilty, I guess. And also, like, I'm almost like gaslighting my, then I'm also like, am I going to burn out? Like, I'm in tune with my body. I feel fine for now. Who knows? Like, if he will go through a crazy 4 month thing. So dramatic. So, almost like, it always makes me think, like, oh, am I going to burn out? Like, I don't know. And it's just different emotions come with it.
I've found the exact same. I've found that I've almost then tried to prove that I'm not doing much to some friends that genuinely, I'm sure, mean it with compassion and like genuine hope that I am taking care of myself. And I'm sure I've said that to people along the way, but I've found it really hard to hear that too, because in my head, it's like, well, there's two options. I can let Ready or Not fall to the side just as it's growing. And that's the career I want to have in 5 years' time. So I need to keep building it now. Sure, if there was a way to turn it off and keep it growing without me for 6 months, maybe I'd want to take it. Yeah. Maybe I wouldn't, but I love this work. But I had that guilt too of feeling like, oh, maybe I'm not a present mum. Why don't I want to just never work when I've got this new baby? And it's draining.
It is draining. And like you said, like with Rattle, and a lot of people said to me, like, you know, if you stop, like Rattle's always going to be there. But I'm, in my head, I'm like, but like, it might not at the capacity that I want it to be. And like, I've worked my ass off for 2 years. It's actually coming up 2 years, like in a few weeks, to grow it. And I'm finally seeing the growth and like the reward from it. So it, and it could be wrong, but in my head, I'm like, if I stop now, what was the point of those 2 years? And I feel fine. If I didn't feel fine and you know, if it was me stressed or I wasn't like putting my kids first or anything like that, then yeah, I'd be different, but like I do feel fine. So I'm like, I'm not going to just stop because technically, like I do love the idea of resting postpartum, that 40-day bed rest and everything, amazing, but it actually just wasn't even an option for me in general, because of my anxiety with Gus being in care and stuff like that. So I was like, you know what? This is probably the...
You're making the best of your own situation.
Yeah.
What do you think would be a more helpful thing for someone to say, either a friend or someone sliding into your DMs? How do you think we should tell someone that we care and that we hope that they're feeling good, as opposed to what I'm just going to say it. You're not going to because you're too polite. But sometimes I think that people are projecting and it's their own set of narratives. How do you think we could be a bit more, I guess, less going to someone with our projections and more offering rest? Or perhaps if it's a friend, drop off a meal instead of wondering if I'm doing too much, because you know why I'm doing this.
Yeah. But I was actually just going to say, just don't say it, because like there's nothing that I'm giving out. I don't think. Friends can come at me if they want. And again, no hate to anyone that said it, but there's nothing, I don't think I'm showing signs of burnout. So just don't.
Yeah. And I don't think you're really showing signs, to be honest, of wanting people's opinions there. You're just sort of going about your life and figuring it out with us on the way. What is on the horizon for you and Rattle in the coming months?
So I am going to start taking clients on again, which I'm so excited, because I felt a bit lost in a way with Rattle, because when I started taking on brand deals, I was like, oh, so I stopped taking clients. Then I was taking on brand deals. I stopped taking clients so I could have this like time with the babies, kids, baby. But then I started taking on brand deals. And I got to the point where I was like, well, if I'm taking on brand deals, why am I not taking on clients, which is the whole thing of Rattle. So I actually did feel like I lost a bit of fulfillment with it in a way, like, because the brand deals are great and I love them. They're fun, but they don't give me the whole, like, I don't feel fulfilled when I'm doing a brand deal. It's a different thing.
Yeah, you're not sort of like fulfilling this need for a mum that's trying to find her way through postpartum dressing or whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of like pulled myself up and I was like, hang on, the whole reason I'm doing this is to help mums feel good throughout their postpartum or pregnancy or any stage of motherhood. Why am I not making time for that? So I just figured out basically how I can make time for that by onboarding other people to help them with other things. So I'm going to be taking on clients and my main focus is going to be clients again. I've got some ideas to grow Mummy Mode, but I just need more time. That's where I do need more time. And then I do have, just some other fun, like content-y kind of, like a little interview series just for content, IGTV coming up. Just, some fun. I think I just want to make my content a bit more fun.
And what have you learned about postpartum dressing this time around that has surprised you? Because a lot has surprised me.
I need to talk on this. Like, I need to actually do something on this with Rattle. I feel, I don't know if this is a toxic thing to say, I just feel like second baby, my body, and like I was really lucky with Gus, my body didn't like it changed, but like not as much. This time around, I'm like, whoa, like who? This is just a completely different body, which is...
Same. My body changed so much less the first time around.
Yeah. I'm like, and which is actually, you know what? I'm trying to think of it in a way that like, this is good that I go through this, so then I can actually help clients even more when they're going through this. But I'm like, I've got to just figure out a whole new body. Like, I don't know. I'm on a journey of trying to like my body, but also I'm just feeling like crap. I've really struggled with it, like to the point where there's nothing in my wardrobe that I want to wear because I feel like I'm dressing for a completely different person.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm about to go to Queensland and I'm like, oh, I'm just need to try and get in the mindset of not just feeling crap over there because it's going to be hot and I'm going to be in summer dressing and just be like, you know what? How can I dress for this?
Yeah.
So yeah, I've actually learned a lot, but I know, yeah, which is, you know what, like a good thing. I'll figure out how I can get through it and be able to help other people. But right now I'm just probably doing too much shopping and trying to like dress for this new body.
Which can be a trap when you're breastfeeding in the middle of the night and you think, I deserve all of this because we do, but there is an end point where you go, maybe I should stop spending money.
Yeah.
I definitely, there's a bit of an uptick in my spending in the postpartum too because this body of mine is unfamiliar to me. I am soft in places that I've never been this soft before. It's interesting. There are even things where I look at my mum and I thought we had different body shapes and now I'm like, oh no, you just had four kids. And I hadn't then. But it's an entirely different beast, which I imagine as much as you're sitting there feeling a bit crap, which we hate to say, we should honour our bodies for what they've done. But I imagine there's some really interesting learnings in there too. So hopefully that's the silver lining. On that, yeah. A listener did write in, and we have talked about this in the previous episode, but let's bring it to them again in case they missed that one. When should we be throwing out clothes that no longer fit us when we're in the postpartum?
Well, I'm about to do it now. I'm 4 months in. I just think, if, you know, you can be smart about it and sell or donate. It's always good to donate clothes or sell clothes and then use that money to buy new clothes. But I just think, like, what's the point of having a dress in it that even if you do get back to your original weight or anything like that, like, your body's changed. You're also just a completely new person. Like, unless you love that dress, maybe if you love the outfit, put it in a box. But get it out of your sight because it's just going to make you feel crap. Like, I've been opening my wardrobe and just actually feeling crap because I'm like, I'd love to wear that, but I can't wear it. So I think get rid of it, hide it, sell it, whatever you need to do, but just get rid of it.
So I did put up a question box, which is where that question came from. We did have a few others. Someone said, not sure if this is in her styling sphere, but I would love bra recommendations. Have you come across any good postpartum bra brands?
I actually have. I did a whole, like, after Gus, I only wore Bonds bras and they were just like, I still have them. I need to get rid of them. They're disgusting. And so when I was pregnant with Otis, I was like, no, I need to like actually wear a nice bra. So there's a brand that I rave about. It's cool. It's not postpartum. I think they might maybe be doing in the future, maybe be doing breastfeeding bras, but it's just a normal bra brand. And I've got three of their bras and it's called First Thing. And I find it so comfortable. I can send it to you. They're so comfy. They're such a good shape. Fun colors.
Yeah.
So that's my favorite.
Great.
And then, so I actually got my bras fitted from Erin from Intimo. And it's something that I've never liked my boobs and I've breastfed for so many years and I've kind of just ignored them and maybe something I'll deal with later in the track. But for now, just let them do whatever they want to do. And I got my bras fitted. Yeah. Which is just something I never would have thought about doing with Erin. And it was amazing. Like she fitted me. I got two bras from there that are like so comfortable. They haven't got underwire or anything, but they're just the perfect fit. And it just means I can wear a t-shirt and like them not look like they're falling to the ground. And then my actual breastfeeding bra is and I'm going to pronounce the name wrong again, Juem,
Juem, I think. Juem.
Yeah, I love their breastfeeding bras.
Great tips. Next question is navigating firstborn's emotions with new baby on top of working help. Did you have much of that with Gus navigating his emotions when Otis came home?
I feel bad saying this and sound like an idiot, but he's actually been incredible. Like he's been, it might be the gap, like they're 2 years and 10 months. And like he has a lot of emotions he's, you know, like full on emotional toddler. He loves Otis.
Yeah.
And I feel like he hasn't clicked that. Yeah, we actually haven't had to deal with much of the...
I would love to say that I could offer some insight here too, but Ray has loved Posey as well. My only tip would potentially for this person would be to lean on grandparents or aunties and uncles if you can for that toddler and have sleepovers or just little breaks so that they get that one-on-one time with someone else they love maybe. But I will try and find a podcast episode actually for you because I'm so thinking common. Of you. That would be... so common. But
so common. I was so scared. Oh my gosh, just you wait. Oh, wait, Gus is going to be this. And because Gus is like being really emotional. So I was like, oh, we're telling her, like, it's going to be bad. And he's just surprised us in the best way. So
yeah, I've been the exact same. Ray is such a sort of singular person, doesn't really want to be around other people. So I thought he would hate Posey, but we haven't had that. We're very lucky. The last question that I had from listeners was about kids being visible on socials. So how you feel about that, if there's any boundaries that you do have in place of like where you will and won't put your kids online. And I guess if you have any feelings about how that's changing as Gus particularly gets a bit older.
Yes, I actually do have boundaries with this. So when I joined the agency, I got asked a lot to do I get asked a lot to do brand deals with like me and Gus or me, Otis and Gus and stuff like that. And Gus, I've said yes to some of them if I feel like they kind of do resonate and they're kind of like an easier job, like I can just do it at home. But I actually just said to my agency, like, you know what? I don't want to force Gus to do anything. Gus is like at the age now where, and if he's having a good day, yeah, maybe he'd like to be in front of the camera, but he's not a camera kid. Like he's not, I know some kids would love it, but it's honestly just stressful for me. Every time I've done it, I've just been like, this is just not worth it. So I don't want to put him in campaigns. In saying that, I don't want, there probably will be future campaigns that he is in, but I'll definitely make sure that they work on our time and that he's happy with it. If he's not happy with it on the day, I would never force him to be in it. I've pulled out of campaigns on days when I know he's not up for it, which I wouldn't want to do that to a brand. So yeah, just not for Gus. There might be some in the future, so I don't want to eat my own words, but like I'm not going to make him like a, you know. Otis, I feel a bit differently as a baby. And I know this person's probably talking about like predators online maybe. I really post my kids. I'll do the occasional Instagram, but they're not like my thing. I don't feel like strongly about like, I wouldn't put an emoji over their face or anything.
I think I have similar boundaries to you. Like they're definitely never going to be the center of my social media, but you might see the odd photo or them running through the odd video or whatever.
Yeah, that's the same as me. I guess Gus will like appear on my TikToks, but I've got like 1,000 followers. Like I think maybe if I did get bigger, I would actually think about it and like probably have a family talk about it all. And to be honest, I never really want them to be the center of my content. Like Rattle's about the mums. The boys don't need to be involved.
I think we have a similar approach.
Yeah, mine's more the emotional, like Gus doesn't enjoy it, so I'm not going to make him do it. Whereas Otis is a baby, so, you know, milk him while he's young. I'm kidding. But like,
get all the money out of him while you can.
Yeah, exactly.
It does feel different while they're young too, because they're not recognizable, which maybe that's wrong. Maybe that's a bad theory. But well, the other day I had a photo of Posey on the Instagram and I was like, I think hopefully she'd be okay with that one day because you can't recognize her, but maybe I will share less of her as she grows. I don't know if that's forward thinking.
I think I'm the same. And even Gus's age now, I'm like, and then you think, like, what if he's 15 and he's like, why is there stuff? You know, why am I?
Yeah, why am I talking about this or you talking about me here or whatever? I couldn't agree more. I'm starting to think about it more as the podcast grows and as my kids grow. So I really enjoyed that listener question. Before we go, what would you go back and tell yourself about going through this wild journey again? I mean, it was wild for you in a lot of ways that were unique to this time. It wasn't just about going from one to two, but maybe tell us what you're proudest of as you've become a mum of two.
In the motherhood, not Rattle.
Both. Let's do both. What are you proudest of as a mum going from one to two? And then what are you proudest of as a business owner who's navigated, I guess, mat leave and all of that again?
As a mum, I feel like I'm proud of the transition to two. I guess I can't really say I'm proud of that myself because I think it is the temperament of Otis, but I've shocked myself in how much I've loved it. So Charlie was really keen on baby number two. I could have waited a little bit longer, but I love it. Like I'm just, I'm proud at how we've like coped with everything that's happened and now we're just loving it and it's been the best thing ever. So proud of that. And then Rattle, I'm just can't believe. And like, if you know me on a personal level, like I still pinch myself that I've got got my own business and it's actually going somewhere and I'm actually seeing like rewards and benefits from it. Like I've never made much money. Like I've never had jobs that, you know, I felt confident in asking for pay rises and all of that kind of thing. So like to be here and to be making, I guess, to actually be making money on a business that I've started from the ground is like insane to me. Like I actually still can't believe it.
Amazing. You've done amazing work. Where can people find you online, Liv?
I'm Rattle_Style on Instagram and you'll find me everywhere else in my bio. Don't look at my TikTok. No, do look at my TikTok. Grow.
Like, comment, share, save. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I love that.
Thanks for listening to Ready or Not. If you liked the show, please tell your friends, subscribe, or write a review. You can also find us on Instagram at readyornot.pod. That's it for today. We'll see you next time.